with the humanistic type of government that we have today that you're afraid to almost depend on because they'll tell at school. Now let me tell you something what happened to me in Chattanooga. We had a little girl that was 12 years old that got paddled by her dad after church one night in the vestibule. And before the next week was out, the DSS had put the child in a temporary fostering home while they were investigating abuse charges. The little girl got off the bus Monday morning to go to school and went back home. Her dad and her mother worked, and she ride the bus to school and would sneak away from school after she'd get to school, and then she'd come back to school to get on the bus to go home. Did that for 2 days. Come to school Wednesday, and they asked, the girl wouldn't sit down. And they asked what was the problem. The little girl said, "My dad beat me, and I can't sit down." So they took her for the nurse. They could find no evidence of bruises or anything else, but they took the child's word and put her in a safe place until they investigated. And I went with them before Judge Dixie Smith, and I remember the parents saying, "Look, we don't know what to do. She has a TV in her home. She has a TV in her room. She has a record player in her room. She has a boombox in her room. We say she has to be in bed by 11 o'clock. We say lights out got to be by 1 o'clock in the morning. We give her a $25 a week allowance. And she can spend her money anything. We've done everything we know how to do." And the family was controlled by the child. "We can't go here because the child didn't want to go. We're going to go to Captain D's, eat something. Pull in Captain D's." "Well, I don't want to eat Captain D's." "So, well, let's go to Kentucky Fried Chicken." "I don't want to eat Kentucky Fried Chicken." "Well, let's go to McDonald's and pull in McDonald's." "Well, I don't want to eat at McDonald's." And then go back home when you never take me nowhere. And the child is being controlled the whole family. And so Judge Dixie Smith, I never will forget it. He said, "What you need to do, you need to take control of this little child that's running your family. And you need to set down some rules and say, I'm the father and she's the mother. And you got to be home by 8 o'clock at night. And you got to be in your room by 9 and lights out by 10. Take away the TV and take away the record player and put her on $5 a week allowance and then make her do dishes and make her do chores." "Why, she's never made her own bed in her life. She's never washed dishes in her life. How can I make her do it now?" Judge Dixie Smith said, "Look, she's only 12 years old. Unless you start doing it right now, you've lost this child. You've lost this child." I begin to see how the children are oppressing the entire home. Not too long ago, I'm real funny. We had some children with us, and we go into the restaurant. I promised them we'd go out to, Taco Bell? Taco Bell, and you could have a 39-cent taco, and you could have a small Pepsi Cola, and I would treat. You'd eat a taco and a Pepsi. That's what we're going to have. I pulled in there. We stopped. We went into Taco Bell. Everybody got their taco. Everybody got their Pepsi. And here's one child said, "I want to go to McDonald's. I want to go to McDonald's." I said, "Look, we agreed we're going to Taco Bell." "Well, I'm going to McDonald's." I said, "No, you're not. You're getting your taco and your Pepsi, and you're going to sit here with us." "Well, I don't want nothing." I said, "Good, leave more for us." Well, I said, "More for us." I reached over and took his Coke and his taco and said, "Thank you. You don't want it? I'll take it." Little boy looked at me, tears in his eyes, looked at me. "Well, I'm sick. I don't feel good. I need to go home." I said, "All right, everybody, let's quit eating. He don't feel good. Let's take him home. And the reason why we can't stay and eat is because of him." I put it right back on the child. "It's his fault that we got to leave because he don't feel good. And the reason why he don't feel good is because he wants to go to McDonald's. And if he had went to McDonald's, he'd been feeling real good, but he ain't at McDonald's, so he don't feel good. So I said, let's pull all our stuff up. All of a sudden, he got feeling real good. Next time we seen him, he says, Brother Holland, you don't really believe me, but I really wasn't feeling that good, but thank you for letting me have my taco and my Coke anyway. Yeah, I put it back. I said, well, here, you can have it, eat it when you get home. Before we even got home, he done gobbled it down. Then he says, oh, certain there it went, you know. He thought he wasn't going to get it, but first he was going to control us. He was going to make us go to the other place. The child, couldn't have been more than 8 years old, was going to control the whole church group and make them do what he wanted to do. See? We're being oppressed by children. Okay? Now, let's go on down here. And women rule over them, as for my people. Now, I'm not going on lady preachers here. I'm talking about the home where God intended for the man to be in the man of the house. Hello? And because a man ain't got no backbone, the woman has to take control. But that's not the way that God intended it. God wants us to do things His way. God wants us to do things His way. We go on down here to verse 16. That you beat my people to pieces and grind the faces of the poor, says the Lord God of hosts. We've got preachers. Hello. Now, I'm just talking tonight. I'm meddling, I guess. We got preachers that don't know how to preach. All they want to do is beat the people. All they want to do is beat the people. Bless God, you do this or else. Or bless God, you do this or else. You know. But God wants to be fed. I was thinking about Sister Ballow the other night. She was telling about the shepherd leading the sheep in the old country. And how that, I remember a story, I think it was you that told it, how they would hold the shepherd's crook out there and the sheep would have to jump over it. And the reason why the shepherd would do that, as the sheep, he'd lead them in the fold, why, he would hold the shepherd's staff out there. And every sheep, as he come in the fold, would jump over the staff to get in the fold. And the reason he did that is because if he seen one that wasn't able to jump over, he would go to that sheep and see what was wrong with it. See what was wrong with it. See what was wrong with it. See, sometimes people have a tendency, if someone is weak and they fall by the wayside, they have a tendency to say, well, they never was a sheep in the first place. What about Jesus in the parable with the 99? He put the 99 sheep safe in the fold, and then he went looking for the one lost sheep. Hello? Too many times we have a tendency to say, if so-and-so stumbles and does something wrong, well, they never were a Christian in the first place. Oh, let me tell you, friend, as long as you have breath, you've got hope with God. And God is a forgiving God, and God is a just God. And it is the place of the church to help and encourage. Amen. 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 Never anywhere in all of Asia and all of the Middle East and all of Israel and Iran and Iraq, or where they have sheep out west in Utah and Colorado, you never see sheep shearing other sheep. But you see chickens pecking other chickens. Hello? You have a brood of 50 chickens and you got one little chick that's smaller than all the rest. Them big old brain chickens will get around that little one and start pecking it till they peck it to death. Or you get a little chick that gets hurt, and all the other chickens get around and peck that chicken till they kill it. Establish a proper pecking order. And you see hogs. My grandpa raised hogs. He had a big old hog trough. He had 50 hogs out there. And you'd see the biggest hog. They'd pour the, I call it slop. I don't know what they call it down here. They'd pour the old slop out there and on the pig trough. And the biggest pig would start over here where you poured it. And all the other pigs would join in together and start eating. And that big pig would start eating. And the time he was eating, he'd be scooting all the other pigs clean off the trough. He'd get down to that end, the pigs would run around and get to the other side. Then the old pig would work himself back the other way. He's bigger and he's grouped them all out. He wanted it all for himself. And I've seen it more than one time at more than one farm. The biggest hog would have a tendency, if it's a big old trough, if it's only four hogs and the trough was big enough to feed 20, the big hog would, he would root his way till he'd run them off the trough. He wanted it all for himself. And then I see the story of the sheep. How if a wolf comes on the sheep would all get around the weak one with their heads all around the weak one. And then they'd start kicking and let their wolf come up. And all the sheep would be all around the weak one, and their feet, them sharp hoofs, would be just a-kicking like crazy. And pretty soon, the old wolf would leave alone when they all get around. But the tendency of the church today is, oh, Sister Holland, you're weak. Let's throw her to the wolves. Because we want a purified church. We don't want nobody like Sister Holland in our church. We want the elite. We want the finest.
You know Jesus says, do you know what the Bible says? He is Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I'm glad I know who Jesus is. Tell me, do you know who Jesus is? Oh, do you know what the Bible says? He's my counselor, Jehovah, my Lord and coming King. I'm glad I know who Jesus is. Tell me, do you know who Jesus is? Oh, do you know what the Bible says? He's Creator, our Deliverer, our Savior and our Lord. I'm glad I know who Jesus is. Do you know who Jesus is? Oh, do you know what my Bible says? He's the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the way, the truth, the light. He's the spotless Lamb of glory, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. I'm glad I know who Jesus is. I'm glad I know who Jesus is. I'm glad I know what the Bible says. He is Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. He's my counselor, Jehovah, my Lord and coming King. He's Creator, our Deliverer. He's our Savior, our Redeemer. He is holy. He is worthy. He's our Father, King of glory. God Almighty, Jehovah Jireh. He's our Father, the one and only. Glad I know who Jesus is. Oh, do you know who Jesus is? Oh, do you know what the Bible says? He's Creator, our Deliverer, our Savior and our Lord. I'm glad I know who Jesus is. I'm glad I know who my Jesus is. I'm glad I know what the Bible says. He is Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. He's my counselor, Jehovah. He's my Lord and coming King. He's Creator, our Deliverer. He's our Savior and our Redeemer. He is holy. He is worthy. He's our Healer and the King of glory. God Almighty, Jehovah Jireh. He's our Father, the one and only. I'm glad I know who Jesus is. Yes, but I know Jesus is. Oh, do you know what the Bible says? Yes, He is Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. He's my Counselor, Jehovah, my Lord and coming King. He's Creator, our Deliverer. He's our Savior and our Redeemer. He is holy and He is worthy. He's our Healer and the King of Glory. He's God Almighty, Jehovah Jireh. He's our Father, the one and only. I'm glad I know Jesus is.
My mind went back to, we went to Appleton, Wisconsin to start a work. I didn't go there to start a work. God put me there. Nearest church was 100 miles. So, got down the winter time in 1960. I remember it, 1960. Nearest church was 100 miles from it. And I just couldn't drive at 30 below zero and 100 miles one way to church, go down to Milwaukee. And I wasn't a church in Green Bay at that time. And Appleton was a town that was 50% Lutheran and 45% Catholic. And the Lord laid on my heart to start a church. And I told my brother-in-law, and he started laughing. I said, what are you laughing about? You're in South Bend, Indiana, where Notre Dame is, and St. Mary's College. But there was about 30 churches in South Bend, see? So the easiest way to start a church in South Bend is visit all the other churches and pick up all the disgruntleds. You can start with 100. I always say that every time I go up. What you doing here? The Lord laid on my heart to come to South Bend start a church. I can get so-and-so from you and so-and-so and so-and-so. I know they've already come to me. Say, I'm a much better preacher than you are. They've already told me that. I've only been in town 3 hours. So I keep my brother-in-law humble that way. He prays I don't show up in town. And the other day, he told me, New Year's Day, I'm praying you show up. Won't you just take them? Give everybody a relief, you know? Maybe the Lord will bless us. But I got to thinking about the church there in Appleton and how that when we got somebody, we got them. Because to come into a Pentecostal church out of the Lutheran church and out of the Catholic church, when they got saved, no, but that was back before the charismatics started coming in the denominational world. And man, you didn't have to worry about them leaving. They got put out. About the third or fourth hallelujah and thank you, Jesus, in the Lutheran service, won't you just go on down there? The Lutheran minister's wife was told by her husband, won't you go on down there where they believe that garbage? So she showed up. Thank God. But when you got somebody, you got them. When I got down here and everybody's saved.
Everybody's
saved. Talked to a prostitute the other day. Well, I'm saved. Yeah. Amen.
I even saw this stripper for Jesus somewhere in the...
Yeah, it was in the newspaper. She was down on South Boulevard. She was stripping for Jesus. And she plays, well, friend, we had Jesus when she goes through her act. And she's saved, and she's a stripper for Jesus. She says, I get a lot of people to talk about Jesus. I said, I imagine so. There's a guy over in Arkansas who was a moonshiner for Jesus, you know? He paid tithes on this moonshine, helped them raise the church, you know. And, oh, thank God, the devil's had that money long enough. We're going to build a church, you know. And I got to thinking, oh, God, I want to do your bidding. I want to do your bidding. I want to do your bidding. We left here right after Christmas, a week of New Year's, and... for 2 years, the church in Parma, Michigan has voted us in as pastor 2 years in a row. And they've had assistant pastor the whole time. And they tell everybody, Brother Holland's our pastor. He's just hadn't made it up from North Carolina yet. So I get to thinking about the pretty brick parsonage they got and a nice church in a small town, but it's the biggest church in town. And how did they going to take care of us and guy with North American or Mayflower Van Lines, he owns a company up there. He's going to come down here and move us up there. And we're in Detroit the Monday after Christmas, and My wife said, Wednesday, let's drive by and see what the Parma church looks like. I'd like to see it. Now, keep in mind, we had planned on leaving here after church Sunday night, but we didn't get situated and didn't leave till Monday night, so it threw us a day late on everything. So, we showed up in Michigan. We didn't tell Brother Eastman or any of them that we were coming. So, we go by Wednesday, Brother Eastman's. We go by Wednesday, and my wife said she'd like to go by. I said, man, I wish I'd known you was coming. What was it, Monday night? They just installed the pastor. They kept it open for us till Monday night. We got there Wednesday. And, well, the devil delayed us, you know, and we could have looked in. We could have been there. No. His dad got stuck in the yard, you know. The devil didn't have nothing to do with it. God, you never left a job unfinished in your life. Hello.
Right.
Amen. God, when you call somebody, when you do something, you finish the job. You work a work. You make it a way so that if something happens, somebody is right there to fill in and the work is done. The work is done. I got to thinking when Brother Childress read that. Amen. My son, if thou will receive my words. No, what is it? Verse chapter 3.
Yeah.
My son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. And while he was reading that, I was thinking over here, and I looked over, I just grabbed my wife's Bible. I'm not too familiar with this one. And, you know, you were talking about the Word of God and what to do in all of these different versions. I picked up a Bible the other day, and I read a scripture, and I said, that ain't what that means. That ain't what that means. They've got it so watered down and turned around. That ain't what it means. It's completely lost the context. So I'm going back to the King James Version here. In chapter 12 of Jeremiah, verse 5, if thou hast run with a footman, and they have wearied thee, then how can I contend with the horses? And if in the land of peace, wherein thou trustest, they wearied thee, then how will thou do in the swelling of Jordan? Not just, I believe it was just last Sunday night, I was on something that Brother Childress was on a little bit tonight, I've made mention of. And I began to think about the goodness of God, the mercy of God, and how great God is, and how that He wants us to walk with Him, and He wants us to commune with Him, and He wants us to be what He wants us to be, not what we want to be. Not what we want to be. I always tell this funny thing about the fella telling this girlfriend how much he loved her. And I love you so much, you're the most beautiful thing in the world. I'll do anything for you. He said, I'd climb the highest mountain for you, and I'll swim the widest river for you, and I'd attempt to go through the ocean for you, my darling. I'll be over Saturday night if it's not too cold and it's not raining. And this is the way that some people attempt to live for God. God, I'm willing, Lord, to go anywhere. Lord, if you'll send me to Peru, I'm willing to go. The Lord says, witness to your next door neighbor. Oh, no, Lord, I want to go to China. Witness to your next door neighbor. Live the life on your job. Live the life among your friends. Oh, no, God, I want to go to China. No, I want you to live for me one day at a time, one step at a time. But God, I'd rather go to China. I remember I'd tell this about Sister Morley in Colombia, South America. And she'd always like to get letters from me because she'd go through the mail and she'd sniff them letters. And in Colombia, they couldn't have tea because it's a coffee country. And I'd take a tea bag. Every letter I'd write her about everything, but I wrote her every week. I'd write her a letter. And I'd take a tea bag and I'd break up that tea bag and empty it out in that letter. And Sister Morley would sort the mail and she'd smell the letter. She said, I'm going to open up Brother Joe's letter and then I'm going to read the rest. She'd run and put the kettle on and get the water boiling. And she'd make her tea out of my letter, and she'd read everybody else's mail. Because my letters sometimes didn't even make sense to her, but they were full of tea. She knew it. She knew it. And the first place they came when they got back in the States, that tea made a difference. That tea made a difference. I never thought I'd ever get those missionaries to come visit us. But she had to thank me for that tea. That little lady with that British background that loved her cup of tea every day. She thanked God for the little things. For the little things.
Amen.
If you're faithful in the little things, look what God's going to do for you. My, I enjoyed this tonight, didn't you? Amen. I enjoyed this tonight. Brother Childers, Sister Childers, Brother Jamie. Amen. Anytime,
you got a place here. Hallelujah.
Amen. Such encouraging words. God, I love you, and I enjoyed that singing. And I'm just
glad I said another one. Come. I didn't remember what that song was, but that's the one I wanted you to sing, that last one you sung.
Amen. About the Word. Hallelujah. Oh, God. Psalmist David said, "Thy Word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee." See, we've got to stand on the Word. We've got to depend on the Word. Heaven and earth is going to pass away, but God's Word is never going to fail. We've got to stand on the Word of God, and we've got to line our lives up by His Word. Amen. By His Word. I mean, I know what you mean by being in Peru. When I was in Apple, Wisconsin, I thought I was in a foreign country up there. Amen. I went to court because I kept parking my car there by the little church we had, and it was a yellow curb. They'd write me a ticket. And I didn't know it was a yellow curb because I hadn't seen the curb in 2 months. We had so much snow there, and when we got the building, there was a yellow curb there, and I didn't know the yellow curb there because we done had 2 foot of snow on the ground. But the policeman knew there was a yellow curb. They keep giving me a parking ticket in a restricted zone. So I parked it on the other side of the street. That was yellow too. I'd go to court and find me guilty. So I said, there's two ways to skin a cat. So the third time I went to court on the same deal, I went down to Oshkosh, Wisconsin, and I invested $22.50 in a short sleeve clerical shirt. One of them little black ones got a little white spot in it, you know, in the center. And I put that thing on with a black suit, put that little, you know, I went in Rome, do as the Romans, you know. And I walked in there, and I had that little backward collar on and that little black deal, that black suit, and I walked up to the judge. He said, "Reverend, you've been in here, this is about the third time." I said, "Yes, sir." He said, "Hey, boy, hit that gal." He said, "Listen, Sergeant, you get that police department straightened out. You quit harassing the father here and take care of him."
Yeah.
Best $22.50 I ever invested. I didn't get another ticket. The whole 3 years was in Appleton. Amen. Thank God. And I told that to Brother Rickman. Remember him laughing about that? And Brother Rickman said he was in Detroit and got a ticket for speeding. And he said, "I was as guilty as sin, Brother Holland." He said, "I was doing 75 in a 55-mile zone." And he said, we was in a hurry. We was trying to get on through there, and I didn't realize I was going that fast. He said, "I knew I was going to lose my license." He said, "I remembered your story about Wisconsin from years ago." Said he went and bought a little shirt, walked in there, and they just threw it out of court. Didn't even have to say a word. So I know what it means to be like in a foreign country. If you're Catholic, you had it made. What am I right on that? And they persecute you because you wasn't Catholic. Hey? Well, the Catholic Church started out right. Amen. If he claims it started on the day of Pentecost. But then they started changing things, and they started increasing things. They started doing other things, and they started changing this, and they started changing that. And then they started to infant baptism, and then they started to this. And then they got to the infallibility of the Pope. And then we got some people today that think they're infallible.
Amen.
But let me tell you something. God is a God that loves each one of us, and He cares for us. Hallelujah. And I can't add to or take away anything from what Brother Childers said, but I just wanted to say that. Amen. And I love Him, and I appreciate Him, and I love God. And listen, we have been blessed. We have been blessed in the United States of America. We have been blessed. We have been blessed above measure. And people believe that we're, some people believe that we're going to go through the tribulation. Some people believe that we're going to be caught out before the tribulation. And some people believe that we're going to go through 3.5 years of the tribulation. But let me tell you something. No matter what you believe, God is no respecter of person. If He has persecuted the church and permitted it to be persecuted in China and in Chile and in South America and in Russia, how much more? He is no respecter of persons. And the same Holy Ghost that protected them can protect us here. Amen. I believe this. And I believe we've got to be solid on the ground that Jesus wants us to be on. Hallelujah. Let's all stand.
Victory today is mine.
Brother Dan, like climbing a ladder. Amen. Hang on to the last rung you're on. Don't go down no lower. Every time you come to church and touch God, you go up another rung. When you leave here, just wrap your hands and legs around that rung and say, God, I ain't going to go down no more. I ain't going to go down. Now, that's just plain talking. I ain't going down no more. Amen. I'm going to go higher. Be like Brother Childers said, Lord, I want you to roll up that road behind me. Roll it up behind me. I ain't got nowhere to go but up.
From the Apostolic Church at Charlotte. This is Pastor Joe Holland asking you to take your Bibles and go to the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 10, verse 1. Dead flies cause the ointment of the apothecary to send forth a stinking savor. So doth a little folly him that is in reputation for wisdom and honor. My topic today is a fly in the ointment. A fly in the ointment. Sometimes in our lifetime we see someone that does something so stupid, that's so out of character. Jesus came into the world to seek and to save that which was lost. Jesus came in order that we might have life and have it more abundantly. The Bible, all through the Word of God, is types and shadows in the Old Testament of what's to come in the New Testament. God's church is a growing church. It's a church that is alive. It is a church that has something to offer you. God's power is so great. He's healing power. This past week on Monday, there was a man in our church that was in the hospital with a heart attack, and God come on the scene and healed him and brought him home. This past Sunday morning, just yesterday, in our Sunday school, the Holy Ghost fell, and God filled with the Holy Ghost. Let me tell you, the power of God is still the same today as it was on the day of Pentecost. And the reason that God does not move in our midst is because maybe we have a fly in the ointment. God says He has created in us a clean heart and a contrite spirit, and His Spirit dwells on the inside, my friend. Let me tell you something. God is on the throne, and He's real, and He's alive, and He cares for you. Amen. If you have something in your life that's bothering you, you need to put it all on the altar. Amen. You need to repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of the sins. God promised you that He would give you the Holy Ghost. Many people don't believe in repentance anymore. Amen. A lot of churches don't even have an altar where you can go and cry out to God and pour out your soul to God. Let me tell you something. A repentant heart and a contrite spirit will God not despise. Amen. He will not despise a broken heart and a contrite spirit. Amen. If you repent of your sins, to repent means to turn away from. God promised you that He would you would be endued with power from on high. Let me tell you something. God is a God. He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. And if you have dead flies in the ointment, you need to do a little cleaning up. God expects us to do a little something on our part. In James 4 chapter tells us, he that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. If you know there's sin in your life, let me tell you, friend, pour it out to Jesus. Give it all to Jesus. Amen. And we want you to know that God loves you and He cares for you. Amen. And He's coming back for people that have made themselves ready. And amen. And we want you to know that victory today can be yours. Hallelujah. If you only repent of your sins and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, God promised you that you would have the Holy Ghost. This is Pastor Joe Holland with the Sound of Pentecost, coming to you from the Apostolic Church in Charlotte, 5455 Wilkerson Boulevard in Charlotte. We want you to know that God loves you and God cares for you. Amen.
Oh, victory to share.
Apostolic Church at Charlotte. This is Pastor Joe Holland asking you to stay tuned for just a few minutes to listen to the Word of God made plain. Our church is located at 5455 Wilkerson Boulevard. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to St. John chapter 4, verses 22 through 24. You worship, ye know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh, and now is, when true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. God's word made plain. You know not, we know what. Amen. This is the purpose of the Christian. Amen. We know what we worship. Man was created in sin and shapen in iniquity. Amen. And there was something left in his left out of his makeup that only the Spirit of Almighty God can fill. Man may search the world over and seek to be satisfied, but he'll only find temporary satisfaction. And only thing that can fill and satisfy the longing in his heart is the power of the Holy Ghost. Because Jesus said, I go away, but I'll not leave you comfortless. I'll send the Comforter, said the Comforter, will come in my name. Amen. Ye know not what you worship, but we know what we worship. Amen. And on the day of Pentecost, they were in the upper room. There appeared unto them cloven tongues like of a fire. Amen. They were all filled with the presence of the Holy Ghost. The Spirit of God moved on them, friend. They were looking for the Comforter to come, and the Comforter did come. He came on the day of Pentecost, just like he said he would. There appeared in them cloven tongues like of a fire, set upon each of them. And the Bible says they were all filled with the gift of the Holy Ghost. They were all filled with the Holy Ghost. Let me tell you, God's still in the Holy Ghost giving business. Amen. This is a beautiful day. Yesterday was a beautiful day. Yesterday was Mother's Day. And in our little church, the Apostolic Church at Charlotte, in Sunday school, the presence of God came down. We were singing a simple song, standing somewhere in the shadows, you'll find Jesus. Suddenly there went our hand lifted up, tears streaming from the eyes. Another hand went up to God. And all over the place, God's presence started coming down. And God filled them with the Holy Ghost just like he did on the day of Pentecost. I'm talking about the tongue-talking Holy Ghost. I'm talking about the devil-chasing Holy Ghost. I'm talking about the sin-erasing Holy Ghost. Let me tell you that God moved. And they began to worship God as the Spirit of God gave utterance. Amen. The Word of God says God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Let me tell you something. God came down. He robed himself in flesh. Amen. He made himself of no reputation. He was led like a lamb to the slaughter, yet he opened not his mouth. They beat him. They spit upon him. They plucked out his beard. They made mockery of him. Oh, but he looked at it with love and compassion. If they only knew who he was the creator of the universe, robed in flesh. Amen. And he came to seek and to save that which was lost. The Bible says the hour cometh, and now is, that true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. Let me tell you something. God honors true worship when it comes from the heart. Amen. You don't have to be perfect. You don't have to be living right to worship God. Oh man, but let me tell you something. If you start worshiping God, you'll start getting yourself right. Amen. Only God can wash away sins. A lot of people said, I pray, preacher, but I'm a sinner. Amen. How did any of us come to God? We all came as sinners. He told us to repent of our sins. Amen. He gave Peter the keys of the kingdom on the day of Pentecost. Amen. And Peter preached to the men. He stood with the rest of the apostles. Let me tell you something. The other apostles would have done something about it if Peter was preaching wrong. But he told them to repent of their sins and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you and to your children and all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. Let me tell you, God is still in the Holy Ghost giving business, my friend. Amen. He's still pouring out his Spirit upon all flesh. I'm telling you that
victory can be yours today if you'll just come to Jesus and you pour out your heart to Him. Amen. This is Pastor Joe Holland coming to you from the Apostolic Church in Charlotte with the sound of Pentecost. Let me tell you that God is still the same today. Victory can be yours. We're located at 5455 Wilkerson Boulevard in Charlotte. God bless you, is my prayer. Until tomorrow at the same time, tune in and hear God's Word made plain.
Church of Charlotte. We're located at 5455 Wilkerson Boulevard in Charlotte. And I want you to know that you're listening to God's Word made plain. In the book of 1 John chapter 5 verses 13 through 15 goes like this. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. And this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And if we know that He hears us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petition that we desired of Him. For just a few minutes today, I want to talk to you on the topic, I've got confidence. Amen. I've got confidence that I know that whatsoever I ask of my God, He has all the riches and glory, and He is well able to take care of my need. Amen. I believe that we believe on the name of Jesus. There's no other name given among men whereby we must be saved. Heaven and earth is going to bow before this name. There is none other name greater in all the earth. Amen. God robed Himself in flesh. Amen. And He was laid in a swaddling clothes and laid in a manger. And He was led like a lamb to the slaughter, yet He opened not His mouth. He laid down a way for us. He laid down a pattern for us to follow. And if we believe on the name of the Son of God, we may have eternal life. If we believe on the name of the Son of God, we can have this confidence in Him that whatsoever we ask according to His will, He hears us. We know that He hears us because we are called by His name. Amen. He has called us out of a life of sin. He has separated us from the world. The Bible says, come out from among them and be ye separate. Touch not the unclean, and I will receive you. God promised us that He would be with us. There's no battle too hard for Him. There's no trial too hard for Him. Amen. God said that He would be with us. And if whatsoever we ask according to His will, He heareth us, and it shall be done. The Bible says, as many as two or three are gathered in His name, He shall be in the midst. Whatsoever we do in word or deed, we are to do in His name. Amen. Because He came to seek and to save that which was lost. What is the purpose of God? What is the purpose of salvation? Why did Jesus come into this world? He came to lay down a pattern. He came to be the perfect sacrifice once and for all. That's why I've got confidence. Amen. I've got confidence in whatsoever I ask in the name of Jesus, He will do it. He said He would never leave us nor forsake us. He said He would be with us. He said He would guide us. He said He would protect us. Hallelujah. We are called by His name. We are a royal priesthood. We are a chosen generation. We are a peculiar people. Amen. Because we dare to stand out and stand alone in the name of Jesus. Amen. I'm totally sold out in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. I'm totally committed to the name of Jesus. That whatsoever I ask in Jesus' name, this will do. Amen. When they were in the upper room on the day of Pentecost, they were totally committed. Amen. Because they had been tarrying and seeking the Comforter. Jesus said the Father would send the Comforter in my name. And so that leads me to believe that they were all praying in the upper room. In the name of Jesus, they were praying. And they come down, and God filled them all with the Holy Ghost. And He added to the church about 3,000 souls that day. Let me tell you something, I'm still on fire because of our Sunday services. When God in His glory came down and filled people with the baptism of the tongue-talking Holy Ghost. Amen. He's still the same yesterday, today, and forever. And they were pricked in their hearts on the day of Pentecost. They said to Peter, the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what must we do to be saved? Peter plainly told them. He had confidence. He said, if you would repent of your sins, if you'd be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, God would fill you with the Holy Ghost. For the promises unto you and to your children and to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. Let me tell you something today. I've got confidence. Amen. That victory can be yours today. This is Pastor Joe Holland coming to you from the Apostolic Church in Charlotte. 54-55.